Good morning. Just one brief word. I just can't start the share without saying, of course, that we've been through one of the most difficult months in maybe since the establishment of the state. I don't know. It was a very, very difficult month. It was not a month of vacation for anybody. She'll be upset with me, but I can't help it. Shoshana Magani's son-in-law, Yehuda Greenfield, was one of the soldiers who was killed in Kfar Giladi. Everybody knows somebody. Everybody knows somebody. Everybody's involved in one way or another. And it was an extremely, extremely difficult and painful month. Yes. May it be the will of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Tichle Shana V'Kilaloteha, that the year and all of its curses shall end, V'Tochel Shana U'Birchoteha, and a new year with the blessing for Klal Yisrael shall begin. And that... I'm going to learn, I want to learn Sefer Yonah. I haven't done it in a long time. It's one of the fascinating things to learn. And I felt a little bit like Yonah. I wanted to run away. This year is dedicated a tefillah l'refuah shleima l'chaya bat Sarah, Malka's granddaughter, who underwent an operation. She should have a refuah b'toch shor cholei Yisrael, refuah ha'nefesh, refuah ha'guf. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes?
Regina Romanto is not well. She folds, she's here all the time.
Regina
Mansdorf.
She should have a refuah shleima.
Yes, Regina.
To have a refuah shleima, thank you. So anyway, I said that don't we all have moments in life that we want to run away? Run away. Run away from it all. The story of Yonah. Oh, what a fascinating story this is. It's fascinating, it's powerful. And it's been a number of years since we learned. The last time we learned about it was just one shiur, but I'd like to go through it more in depth. Of the questions that we're going to have to ask, and it may take till the end of all of the shiurim, and I don't know how long it's going to be. It may be three shiurim, four shiurim, I don't know how long it'll be. We have to deal with the major question: why does he flee? Why does he run away? And if he has good reason to run away, how does he think he's ever going to succeed in fleeing from before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is all over. If man hides, God will not see him. I go to the heavens, there you are, Davaranello says. I go to the ends of the earth, there you are. It's a sin for a Navi who is given a task by God. It's called Hakovesh Nivuato, the one who withholds the prophecy that he's been told. He is a messenger of God. He has to do it. And Hakovesh Nivuato, one who withholds his prophecy, Chayiv Misa. There's a death penalty min Hashamayim. Of course, ultimately the question is going to be, why do we read Sefer Yonah at Mincha on Yom Kippur? This Yonah continues obstinately to refuse. We're going to read about the terrible storm, and the storm gets worse. and they throw him into the sea. He's swallowed by a big fish. Why doesn't the Rebbe Yisraelim simply trade him in for another Navi? Yola, you don't want to go? Well, I was going to say, you know, there are a lot of fish in the sea. That would have been a pretty good one. I have all the Nevi'im. I have all the Nevi'im. You're the only Navi that I have. Man doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. What do we say? That Tzono Shalodom Zehu Kvado, a person's... You don't want to go? Okay. You think that the Rebbeinu Shalom is helpless. Not if I need Yonah. Without Yonah, I'm lost. Not lost. For that matter, you know, I think there's a moment in life that we reach that we all begin to find out that, you know, we're not indispensable. You know, we're not indispensable. We may be indispensable, of course, to our family members, but in a job, you leave a job, believe me. They'll, you know, people feel bad at first. They'll get somebody. They'll get somebody to take your place. Don't think you're irreplaceable. Nothing. Nobody. No, everybody's irreplaceable. So why doesn't the Rebbeinu Shalom trade him in for somebody else? Chaser lo nevi'im esfel to Rebbeinu Shalom and prophets. You don't want to go? Don't go. This year something else started bothering me. He's going to go through that whole chapter. He's going to go through all sorts of maneuvers until ultimately they throw him into the sea. Why doesn't he jump? Why doesn't he jump? We'll see that there's a rabbi in the Gemara that says, "Lo holach yona elo kidei la'abed et atzmo bayam." Yonah only went in order to die in the sea. So why does he have to place this burden of guilt on the sailors? You're defying the Rebbeinu Shalom. Your punishment is death. Doesn't make any difference anymore. Who's going to do it?
A person doesn't have the courage. Many people would like to die, but they don't have the courage to do it.
I would accept that about anybody but Yonah. Yonah is the most courageous of all of the Nevi'im. There is no other Navi who defies the Rebbeinu Shalom. And not only defies the Rebbeinu Shalom, he's going to defy the Rebbeinu Shalom until the end of the Sefer. And even at the end of the Sefer, there is no guarantee that Yonah has been convinced. You know what the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to try and do in the last two chapters over here? Convince Yonah. But Yonah, I want you to understand, I can't help it. There are hundreds of thousands of people in that city of Nineveh. I can't destroy it. My mercy is overwhelming me. There's only one person who seems to put the Rebbeinu Shalom up against the wall. Explain yourself to me. No. Courage is the one thing that Yonah is not lacking. But thanks for asking the question. You gave me the opportunity to think about it. You forced me to think. That's the pshat. May Talmido Tai Yoter Mikulam. For my students, I learn. There's no question about it. All of a sudden, in one single instant, I realized the extent of Yonah's courage, his defiance. Do you know what we would call it in contemporary terminology? Siruv Pikuda. He refuses to follow orders. Oh, that's very courageous. He refuses to follow orders. And this is not the order of some two-bit politician or somebody else. This is the order of Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the fullness of his prophecy, he stands up there and he says, not me, Rebbeinu Shalom, you know what? You want somebody to go to Nineveh? You'll find somebody else. Not me.
Have courage.
Oh, la zenagia. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going to see the greatness of Yonah. But it's more than that. Not only because of his great Ahavat Yisrael, it's also because he wants the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he wants the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to explain himself. There are times that man wants to understand God. We don't understand him all the time. Ultimately, it may very well be that Yonah doesn't really become convinced. Doesn't become convinced. The only thing that he's going to learn is that at the moment of crisis, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam can be very, very merciful. Could that be one of the reasons why we read it at Mincha on Yom Kippur? It's the end, or it's coming to the end of the day. The end of the day. But alright, there's so much more. We're going to start with number one. What do we know about Yonah? Here is a sefer, four chapters. Everybody knows the story. Right? You know each sentence, each pasuk is so fascinating. But what do we know about Yonah before this begins? What else do we know about him in Tanakh? He is mentioned in three places, by name only in one. I want to go through those three places with you because they're going to present us a picture of who this Yonah is. And when we finally are able to see the full stature of his greatness, what happens in the Sefer, his flight from God, becomes infinitely more significant and more powerful. On this single sheet with the two pages together, I simply, that will be using every week, that's the Sefer Yonah. The whole thing, on two sides of one page, one in Hebrew, one in English. But here we have on this page, there are three selections from Sefer Malachi. I want to go through those three selections. And we're going to do a little skipping, but here, the first one, Melachim Aleph, chapter 17. Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elav Lemor, God is speaking to Eliyahu Hanavi. And he says, Kum Lech Tzorfata Asher L'Tzidon, go to a place, Tzorfata or Tzorfat, which is near Tzidon. Tzidon is Lebanon, we know where Tzor and Tzidon are. The Ashaf Hashem, stay there, he made Siviti Shom Isha al Mona Lechal Kalecha. I have commanded a woman who is an almana, a widow, to feed you. He got up and he went to Tzarfat. He came El Katahair, and behold, there is a woman, an almana, Mikosheshet Eitzin, she's gathering wood. Vayikraelem, he called her and he said, Chinolimat Mayim Vakli Ve'eshta, please give me a little water and I will drink. Vatelech Vakacha Vayikraelem Vayomer, Lichinolipat Lechem Biadech. As she was going, he says to her, give me a little bit of, a little piece of bread. Vatoma says, she said, Chai Hashem Elokechon Yeshli Maog, I swear to God, I don't even have a little bit of bread. You know what I have? I have a spoonful of flour. I have a spoonful of flour. Kiyim melo kaf kemach bakad. I have a spoonful of flour. Umat shemen batzapachat. And in the cruse, there's a little bit of oil. And you know what I'm doing? I'm gathering a few little sticks. I'm going to make a little fire. I'm going to make a little Lachmaniya ala, a very, very small one. Ubati, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make it for me and my son, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. There's nothing left. Vayomer Eliyahu. Eliyahu said to her, Al Tiri, don't be afraid. Boi asi kivarei, go. Do as you said, go home, make that little maog, go make it. Achasili mishom ugar ketanah barishonah.
before you make your ugah, make a little one for me. Vahutzeit li, take that out to me. V'loch v'lifneich tasi v'achrona, and for you and for your son, make at the end. Ki komar Hashem, because so says God. Tad hakemach lo tichle. That jar in which you have the flower will never end. There's always going to be flour there. V'tzapachat Hashemen lo techsa. And the cruse of oil will never be lacking. Ad yom titen Hashem geshev al pnei havor, until the day that God is going to give rain upon the face of this earth. This was all an exercise for Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the one who called down famine upon the land. He was striking out against the idolaters. He calls out that there shall be no rain and there's no drought. And the Rebbeinu wants him to see Eliyahu. Take a look. Look what happened as a result of the drought that you called down upon the Jewish people. It's not good enough to, curse the land, and you don't come face to face with the reality of what's happening. She went and she did as Eliyahu had said, and he ate and she ate, and her whole family for many days. Kata kenach lo kolosa, the flour didn't end. Sapachat Hashemin lo chaser, the cruse of oil was never lacking. Kidvar Hashem Hashem biyad, diber biyad Eliyahu, as God had said through the hand of Eliyahu. It means also, of course, Eliyahu is learning from this, he can be a prophet for good as well. Eliyahu is capable of bringing great blessing. And as he brings it to this almana, the day is going to come that he's going to bring blessing back to Klal Yisrael. V'hei yachrat vorem heilin, it came to pass after these things, kol ben ho yishabalat habayit. The woman's son took sick. Very ill. There was no life left in him anymore. She said to Eliyahu, what do you want from me? Have you come here so that my sins should be remembered before God? And now my son is dead. Now she had this feeling that here she is in the shadow of Eliyahu, and then look what's happened to her. Vayomer Eliyahu, he said to her, Tnili et b'neich, give me your son. Vayikocheu meicheka, he took him from her lap. Vayaleu el ha'aliyah, asheru yosheik sham. Eliyahu had a room upstairs. He took the boy up into his room. He put the boy out on his bed. And he called to God and he said, Hashem Elokai, Hagam al ha'almana asher ani mitgorer ima, harei ota lahamid et bena. Even this almana, this poor woman with whom I am living, upon her you have also brought this evil to kill her son. And he stretched himself out on the boy three times, and he called to God, and he said, Hashem Elokai, Toshiv no nefesh hayelet hazel kibay, bring life back into him. Vayishma Hashem l'kol Eliyahu, God listened to the voice of Eliyahu, v'toshiv nefesh hayelet al kibbo vayechi, the boy came back to life. According to most of the Mefarshim, I mean, he really was dead. And Eliyahu here is granted the key of Tchiyat HaMeitim, to bring the dead back to life. Vayikach Eliyahu et hayeled, Eliyahu took the boy, he took him down min ha'aliyah, from his room upstairs, he took him down into the house, and he gave him, vayitnei limo, he gave him to his mother, vayomer Eliyahu, de'i, see, chai b'neich, your son lives. Vatomer ha'isha el Eliyahu, the woman said to Eliyahu, this pasuk is extremely important. The woman said to Eliyahu, Ata ze yodati, now I know, ki ish Elokim ata, that you are a man of God, udvar Hashem beficha emet. And the word of God in your mouth is absolute truth. We're going to come back to this pasuk toward the end of our study of Sefer Yonah. What emerges from here is Yonah is a living miracle. By the way, I should have pointed out the Gemara and the Mefarshim say this child was Yonah ben Amittai. Rashi, the Radak, didn't say it yet. This boy was Yonah ben Amittai. He lives and he breathes. From whom? Who brought that life into him? He's Eliyahu. Could we call him, in a sense, the alter ego of Eliyahu? This light, the light force of Eliyahu Hanavi, is this Yonah ben Amittai. Okay? Source 1. Source 2. Move to the left. It's now no longer the days of Eliyahu. Eliyahu has already been taken heavenward in a storm of fire and chariots, and the mantle of leadership of prophecy has been given to Elisha Hanavi. The Elisha Hanavi Kodol Achad Min Bnei HaNeviim. Elisha the prophet called to one of the sons of the prophets, and he said to him, Chagor Matnecha, gird your loins, whatever that means. What it means is get ready for a very important task. And take this oil, the Pach HaShemen, in your hand, and go to Ramot Gilad. Ubat HaShama, you're going to come to Ramot Gilad, and you're going to see over there Urei Sham, Yehu ben Yehoshaphat and Nimshi. You're going to see Yehu, the son of Yehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Ubatan, you should come. V'hakimot mitoch echov. Get him to stand up from amongst his brothers. V'hivetol tol cheder b'choder. And bring him into another room, an inside room. Let me tell you what's happening over here. Yehu ben Nimshi. Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi is the Ramatkal. He is the commander-in-chief of the forces of Israel. By forces of Israel, we mean it very technically. We will see that Yonah was from Osher and Zevulun, not from Yehuda, and this is a period of that the ten tribes have their own kingdom. There's a battle going on, and the commander-in-chief is Yehu. Now he is told by Elisha, go in over there, take the commander-in-chief out, Mipnei HaNeviim. You know, it's going to be amazing. What do you mean? He's going to walk into, what do they call it over here? The bore. You know what the bore is? The pit. The pit is in Tel Aviv. And in the bore, the whole Mateh HaKlali, all of the whole nerve center of the Israeli army. You know what it means to get through all of those defenses over there? And Elisha tells Echad Mibnei HaNeviim, just go in there and you get a hold of the Ramatkal and say, come here, bicycle, I want to talk to you privately. You understand? It's unbelievable what's going to happen here. But Lakachta Pach HaShemen, take the cruse of oil, the Otsakta Rosho, and pour it on his head, and you should say, Kol Omar Hashem, so says God, Mishachticha Lemelech El Yisrael, I have anointed you king over Israel, Upatachta Hadelet, open the door, Venasta, flee, Velotachaket, don't wait. Yehu is not the king, he's the commander in chief of the forces. You know what this, by now you know of course that this Ben HaNeviim is Yonah. He's going to create now a rebellion. He's going to anoint somebody else as king. It's going to lead to a rebellion, and the sitting king is going to be brought down. He's from the house of Achav, and it's the beginning of the end of the house of Achav. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. Vayelech Hanar Hanavi Ramot Gilad. Even the way the Pasuk talks about him, it doesn't seem to be a terribly impressive person. He's a nar, the lad, even though, of course, lad in Torah could also mean somebody who's older. For example, it says about Yehoshua that Yehoshua was na'ar lo yomish mitoch ha'olel. He was a young man who never moved from the tent of Moshe. And the Ramban and the Ebenezer say that at the time he was 56 years old. Na'ar also has the meaning of somebody with a great deal of energy, air. He's awake. He moves. There's a sense of energy bursting from him. Anyway, he went to Ramot Gilad Vayavo, Vinei Soy Achayel Yoshim, all of the commanders are sitting, Vayomer, I don't know how he got through the door. I'm telling you, maybe at the end of the story we'll figure out how he got through the door. Here they're all sitting, this is a staff meeting. Vayomer, he said, Dovo Li Eilecho Asar. Something I have to say to you, officer. Vayomer Yehu, and Yehu said, Omini Kulanu, which one of us? Vayomer, and he said, Elecha Asar, to you, I want to talk to you. Vayakam, he gets up. You understand? I don't know, I wanted to use Chalutz, not Dayan. Dayan. Bugiya Alam. Ehud Barak. You understand? This Na'ar says, you, I want to talk to you. Without asking any questions, he gets up. Vayakam. It's amazing. Vayakam. He got up, Vayavo Habayta, and came into the house. And the boy, Vayitzok Shemen, Hashem Arosho, he poured the oil on his head, Vayomalo, and he said to him, Koamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says the God of Israel, Mishachticho Lamela, El Am Hashem El Yisrael, I have anointed you as king over the people of God to Israel. Vayikitam et Beit Achav Adonecha, you should destroy the house of Achav, your master. Absolute rebellion. The keeper Beit Achav Adonecha. The Nikamti Dmei Avodai Hanavim, and I, God, am going to avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, who Dmei Kol Avdei Hashem Miyadi Izevel. And the blood of all the servants of God from the hands of Izevel, who was, of course, the wicked, wicked wife of Achav. V'avad kol Beit Achav, the whole house of Achav will be destroyed. V'echrati l'Achav mashtin bekir, and I will destroy from Achav everything, every living thing. V'otzu v'ozu b'Yisrael, nothing will remain. V'nosati es Beis Achav ki Beis Yehovim ben Nevat, I will make the house of Achav like the house of Yehovim ben Nevat, and like the house of Basha ben Achia, previous kings of Israel who had been destroyed. That Izebel Yochu Akhlov Bechelek Israel, Izebel will be eaten by the dogs in Israel, the Ein Kover, and nobody will bury her. By Yiftach HaDelet, he opened the door, by Yanos, and he ran. Quite a message. Quite a message. He fled. Now listen. V'yehu yotzo al avde adon of yoyti. Yehu went out to the servants of his master. In other words, the whole matea klali, all of the generals, the alufim, vayomalo. They said to him, Hashalom, is everything okay? Madu aboha meshuga hazei lecho. Why did this meshugana come to you? Vayomalo. He said to them, you know the man and his talk, you know all about him. I mean, does this mean that they know who this fellow is? Oh, boy, do they know this fellow. He has a reputation. But let's see what kind of a reputation. Vayomru, and they said to Yehu, who had just made light of his conversation with this Nar Hanavi, Sheker, it's a lie. You're lying to us. Haged nolanu, tell us what he said. Really, what he said. In other words, this meshugana, who you know says all sorts of funny things, but do you know what they know about Yona? There's one thing about Yona. Yona is absolute truth. He is emet. Dvar Hashem, didn't his mother say when Eliyahu brought him back to life, now I know that Dvar Hashem, the word of God in your mouth, is true?
And you know what happens? Vayomer. So Yehin says, Kelzot v'chazot omar Eli lemor. This, and this is what he said to me. Kalamar Hashem, so says God. Mishachticha lemelech. And Yisrael, I have anointed you as king over Israel. Look at the response. The Meshuggah is calling for absolute rebellion. Vayimaru, they hurried. Vayikuvi, Bigdo, each one took his garment. Vayosimu, Tachtova, Gerim, Hanalot, and they placed their cloaks on the steps. Vayitku, the shofar, they blew the shofar, and they said, Malach Yehu, Yehu has become king. The unknown Meshuggah, Ben Amidian, Na Anavi, I tell you that, you know this crazy guy, Vetsicho, but they say, oh, no, Sheker, we want to know the truth. And the moment that he tells them what Yonah, Ben Amittai said, they're all part of the rebellion. They understand that this Yonah speaks the word of God. Rebelled against Yoram. They're preparing for battle against Hazael, king of Aram. Here it is, at a moment of crisis for the Jewish people. Along comes Yehu, and he is going to rebel against the house of Ahav, and in fact destroy the house of Ahav. What a fascinating story. What a fascinating story. By the way, Nevi'im was sometimes called Meshugoyim because that was a description of the prophetic trance that would overcome a Nevi when the word of God came to him. The only one that was able to receive the word of God as though he's talking to a fellow human being was Moshe Rabbeinu. All other Nevi'im went through a process of being sort of like a Meshuggah. That's the second reference to Yonah. The third reference. The third reference is what a reference. What we learn from this third reference to Yonah. Bishnat Chameshes Reis Shona Lamatzio Ben Yoash Melech Yehuda Moloch Yeravim Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. In the 15th year of Amatzio, the son of Yoash, king of Yehuda, Yeravim Ben Yoash became king of Israel in Shomron for 41 years. Vayasorah B'yein Hashem. Very important. You have to know that this Yeravim Ben Yoash was a bad man. He was a bad king. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Lo so mikol chatos Yeravim ben Nevat. He did not turn from the sins of Yeravim ben Nevat. Asher hechti et Yisrael who caused Israel to sin. Now listen to this. We're talking about a king who's ruling for 41 years and he's not a nice guy. He's evil. And do you know what tremendous success this man had on the field of battle? Listen to this pasuk. This pasuk is an extremely significant pasuk in terms of our understanding the events of the last 58, 59 years. Who had shivet v'ul Yisrael milavol hamat ad yom ha'arava? He returned to the boundaries of Israel, lands that had been taken from the Jewish people, from the Vol Hamat at some place around Damascus, until Yom Ha'arava, Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. There was a man who said that all of these lands that we had lost to the enemies around us were going to be returned to us. And you know who was the one that said that highly unlikely prophecy? Kidvar Hashem Asher Dibe Biad Abdo Yonah Ben Amitai Hanavi Asher Migar Tachefer. First time his name is mentioned. Yonah ben Amittai, the Navi from Gat HaChefer, that's how we know that he comes from Zvulun and Osher. Einek Chefer, you know, you go up along the coast, you come to Einek Chefer, that's north of Netanya, going further eastward. Yeah. Toward Chadera and further, and then eastward as well, the area of Gat HaChefer. Why? The big question is, this Yerobam is such a Rasha. Why is he the one who is so brilliantly successful on the field of battle? You know why? Listen to this. Akiro Hashem et Ami Yisrael, because the Rebbeinu Shem saw the affliction of Israel. Moda Ma'od. Their condition, their situation was terrible, very frightening. The Efes Otzor, the Efes Ozov. Otzor and Ozov means all sorts of supplies, munitions, food. They had nothing. They had nothing. And they were in a terrible, terrible state. Ve'ein ozer liYisrael, and there isn't a soul on the face of this earth that's ready to help the Jewish people. Does that sound
familiar?
V'lo diber Hashem limchot Hashem Yisrael. God never ever intended that the name of Israel should be erased mitachat Hashemayim, from beneath the heavens. And therefore, despite the fact that Yerovam ben Yoash was a Rosha, Vayoshien, God saved them in the hands of Yerovam ben Yoash. Don't tell the Rebbeinu Shlom who to use to bring salvation to the Jewish people. You decided that, you know, the only one, the only kind of chayal that can save the Jewish people is a Shema Torah Mitzvah. So the Rebbeinu tells you, don't tell me how to run my world. When my people are in sorrow, I'll bring their salvation. One of the complaints against the establishment of the State of Israel in its early years was, the Rebbeinu doesn't bring miracles through people who are not born. Now this guy, this pasuk is the pasuk that shatters that whole idea. Don't give the Rebbeinu Shlom aces. When Klal Yisrael is in dire straits, he'll take care of them, even if he has to use the devil to take care of them. And who is the one that brings this nevuah? This nevuah was said most probably when I can imagine now that when Yonah ben Amittai comes and tells this nevuah to the Jewish people, that all the lands that were lost are going to be brought returned, and Yerovam ben Yoash is the one that's going to do it. So the Fumis must have said, "Yonah, what are you talking? Yonah, the land has been ransomed. He's going to bring a miracle to this Yerovam ben Yoash. Give me a break. Give me a break. I'm the sugar out there. And you know what the end was? Sheker. Every word that this man Yonah says is truth. Yonah is truth. What it really means is that when we come to Sefer Yonah, there's been a long time. Eliyahu, Elisha, it's a few generations later. Yonah is toward the end of his life. Yonah must be already getting on in years, you know, and then he's told to go to Nineveh. His whole flight, everything that takes place in this sefer, is going to be the last hurrah of Yonah, the end of his career. The Gemara says, you know where his career began. He went aliyah l'regel. He went to Yerushalayim for Sukkot once, and he was in the Beis Hamikdash during the time of Simchas Beis Hashoeva. And the Gemara says Simchas Beis Hashoeva, where they fetch water, Shem Shom Shoav in Ruach Hakodesh. From there, one is able to fetch the Holy Spirit. Nevuah came upon him as he was by Simchas Beis Hashoeva. To become a Navi is a lifetime task. It's far more difficult than becoming a dentist, a doctor, a Rav, or a Gadol B'Yisrael. To become a Navi requires many, many years of deep, deep devotion
Let me read what the Rambam has to say about a Navi. And the fact is, after all the effort and the energy that a Navi puts in, there's no guarantee that he's going to say prophecy. There's no way to be sure. There may be thousands of people who have gone through the whole process of preparing themselves emotionally and religiously and spiritually, but whether one is going to be a Navi or not is dependent completely on the choice of the Rebbe Shlomo. Choice of the Rebbe Shlomo. Miyisodei HaDaat, I'm just reading, you don't have this, I'm reading it from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah says, Miyisodei HaDaat, it's one of the foundations of our religion. Later, you should know, Shehokel min Abei Adonai HaAdam, God gives prophecy to man. Ve'ein ha-nevuah chola, in other words, means God communicates with man. And nevuah does not descend upon a person unless he is chacham gadol bechacham, great in wisdom, gibor, mighty b'midosav, in his character traits. V'lo yehe yitzro, listen to this sentence. Lo yehe yitzro mitgaber alav v'dovar ba'olam. There is no aspect of his life where his Yetzirah gets the best of him. He has killed the Yetzirah. He has slaughtered the Yetzirah. That's an awesome peak of religious fervor to reach. Elohim Gaber B'Dakol Yitzro Tomid. He's always able to overcome his Yetzirah intellectually. The extent, the breadth of his knowledge and his intellect. A person who is full of all of these traits, we're talking about the peak of spiritual and intellectual heights, and he's showing the gufo, he has to be completely healthy. When he begins to step into the world of the secrets of God, and he is able to be drawn toward those great and distant things, and he's going to have a proper mind, and after all of this he makes himself holier, he removes himself from Klal Ha'am, from the people, Ha'ochim b'marshakei Hazman, who go in the darkness of time. And I can keep reading this and reading this and reading this. He's going to describe a man who's working on himself to the nth degree of human possibility to grow spiritually. Then if God chooses, he will be a prophet. Why am I reading this? I'll tell you why I'm reading it to you. Because you know what we're going to see in the first chapter of Sefer Yonah? Everything that he prepared himself for over a lifetime with the greatest of intensity, with awesome success, everything that he worked toward, he's throwing it all out now. He wants to divest himself completely. God, I don't want it. That's quite a step for a person to take. Man divests himself. Maybe we can understand it. I don't know. Man simply is going to take every penny he's earned in his life, billion now gives it all away to the last penny. Nothing. I don't want anything. Everything you worked for your whole life. And over here we're talking about a man who spiritually wanted the closeness of God. He rejects it all. It's an unbelievable sacrifice. We're going to watch how he does it. Not simply he goes down to Yafo and goes down into the boat. You know what he's doing? He's going down from the heights that he has reached. He's going down from the great spiritual planes upon which he finds himself. He wants to go down, down, down.
He wants to divest himself completely from everything. This is an unbelievable, unbelievable sacrifice. As Malchus said, and we're going to see, he's doing it all only on behalf of Klal Yisrael because of his great love for the Jewish people. He's ready to give up everything. He's ready. I'm going to say one sentence. He's not so much fleeing from God as he is fleeing from himself. Okay? He's fleeing from himself. Oh, this is a... We have to study this Yonah. This Yonah is going through a terrible crisis. And what's it all the result of? Let's begin at least. Let's learn a pasuk. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah ben Amittai lema. The word of God came to Yonah ben Amittai saying, "Kum leichel Nineveh, get up and go to Nineveh, hoyir hagadola, the big city, ukra oleha, and call out unto her, ki altara tam." Lefanai, because their evil has come up before me. That's, we don't even know what he's supposed to say. We don't know what he's supposed to say. All we know is that God is upset with Nineveh. He wants him to go to Nineveh. Another one of the questions, of course, is going to be, we don't have any other Navi who was sent to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. A Navi's job is to speak to the Jewish people. Come, arise. And then... Oh, that one sentence! And Yonah's life changes dramatically immediately. Vayakom Yonah lebroach Tarshisha. Yonah got up to flee to Tarshish, milisnei Hashem, from before God. And in that flight, he wants to divest himself of everything he achieved during the whole lifetime. Greatest achievement of all. A lot of people can become rich. A lot of people can amass knowledge. Not too many people can become a Navi. And certainly not a Navi like Yonah. Brought to life by Eliyahu HaNavi himself. Yonah is the alter ego of Eliyahu. We're going to see there's so much of Eliyahu in Yonah, because Eliyahu is also one of the prophets who defies the Chavei Yisrael. Who else is unwilling to Yirmiyahu? Doesn't want to Yirmiyahu says that he doesn't want to go. God tells him, go. Yirmiyahu says, no, I can't go. Now I don't know if I'm young. I'm incapable of standing up against the great forces of Yerushalayim. God makes him go. Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to talk about that. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to go. We're going to talk about that at much greater length. And Yonah now joins this elite group of those who refuse to go. Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to know if the divesting was anything like the divesting of the sun.
All right. I think that was a all right. Vayakom Yonah lebroach Tarshisha, and Yonah got up to flee to Tarshish milifnei Hashem, from before God. Vayeded Yafo, and he went down to Yafo. Vayimtzo aniyo bo Tarshish, and he found a boat. Bo Tarshish, coming from Tarshish. Now, Tarshish seems to have been a place very, very far away. Very far away. He wants to go as far as he can go from before God. So, of course, the question that we asked was, how do you... Wherever you go, there the Rebbe Nishon is. So of course the Gemara says it, and this is about the
basic answer that's given is that a prophet receives prophecy in Eretz Yisrael. Only in unusual circumstances does a prophet receive prophecy in Chutz La'aretz. One of the few who received prophecy in Chutz La'aretz was, of course, Moshe in Midian. So the Gemara says, before Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, God would speak to them outside of Eretz Yisrael. Once they entered Eretz Yisrael, God speaks to them only in Eretz Yisrael. Yecheskel receives prophecy on the river Kivor, which is in Bavel. So they say either because he had already prophesied in Eretz Yisrael, and because he's prophesying about the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. But Yonah, who's supposed to be prophesying to Nineveh, he's running. But I said we're going to be working with the idea that not so much that he is running away from Hashem, as we say, but he is running away from himself. He knows that he can't run from before God. He, watch, let's go. Vayim Tzoniel, when you go down to the port, you find the boat. You know what Vayim Tzoniel means? What do you find? You know, I'm looking around. Hey, I found the boat. You don't find the boat. Boats are there, you don't find boats. What was unusual over here is there were no boats. And then a boat came in, and it was a boat that was supposed to be on its way to Tarshish, and it seems there was a storm that sent it back to Yafo. So here it is, it's like a metzia. There wasn't supposed to be a boat there. And now he finds the boat. Vayitein schora. So you know, of course, what Chazal say, he didn't pay just for his fare. Schora means the schar of the whole boat. He didn't want them to wait a moment. Under other circumstances, they would have waited for other passengers to come. So he says, no, he's going to pay for the whole boat. Leave now. Can you imagine, you know, you get into a cab here, $1,000, take me to Tel Aviv. Of course I'll take you. Not only that, maybe he'll sell you. Tell you, no, $1,100, I'll do it, you know. Yes. Or scharo, yeah. That's right. Schara is the onia, the boat. Yes, schara is because it's the boat. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that they took a lot of money from him. By the way, it does fit in with the halacha too. Eina kodesh baruch hu mashresh chinato. You know what are some of the requirements for a navi? God brings his divine presence down on chacham, gibor, wise, mighty, anav, humble, and ashir, rich. I imagine the navi had to be somebody who was totally independent of everybody and anybody. He had to be ashir. And it's quite clear, he had the money to pay for the whole boat. The whole boat, we're talking about a trip that under normal circumstances can take months to get all the way to Tarshish. It was a long trip. In Malachim it says that there were boats, special boats that Shlomo HaMelech made in order to get to Tarshish. Vayeded Bo, is that the second time it says he went down? He went down into her, Lavo Imayim Tarshisha, to come with them to Tarshish, Milisne Hashem. He's fleeing before God. He has gone down to Yafo, he has gone down into the boat, he's moving downward. Hashem Heitu Ruach Gdola La'ayam, God brought a great wind to the sea. Vayisar Gadol V'yam, and there was a big storm. Now, let's see what the English translation says on that. Yeah? And the ship threatened to be broken.
Now, chishva means, you know, thought, right? The boat thought. So, of course, there's a problem. You know, the problem is boats don't think. Understand? Boats don't think. So, the Mepharshim, the Radak, others say, ha'aniya, and this is that does appear in Tanakh, the people of the aniya, the people on the boat thought that it would break. I've always liked just the idea, and we find this in Tanakh too, that there are times in which Tanakh takes an inanimate object and sort of gives it life. The boat is thinking about breaking up. All right, now we're going to come up against a number of other examples of this sort. The boat sort of takes on a life of its own, and it's considering whether it should break up because the storm is terrible. Vayiru ha'malachim, and the sailors were frightened. Vayizaku ish elalahav, each one cried out to his God. Vayatilu v'takelim, they threw the cargo, asher ba'aniya, that was on the boat, el hayam, into the sea, l'hakel me'aleim, to lighten the load so that the boat will be able to go with the terrible waves. V'yona yorad el yarkitei asvina, the third time, Yonah went down to the bottom of the boat. You can't go down any more than that. Vayishkav, he lay down, Vayeirah down, and he went into a deep sleep. We'll talk about that deep sleep next week. It's one of the most unusual things of all, you understand. The whole world is literally caving down around him. He may be minutes away from death, and he sleeps like a baby. What an unbelievable, unbelievable, unusual thing. Mir Tashem, to be continued next week.
העוסקים בצורכי עבוד באמונה, הקדוש ברוך הוא ישלם.